are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast, where the truth is told. On today's show, we have Scott Johnston. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So I see here on your bio, I got to put my eyes on. You know, when you get to my age, everything starts breaking down here. I got to use my glasses here. But you have a degree in broadcast journalism from Fresno State, and you own your own business called VHS Master. What got you into broadcast journalism?
Well, I love sports, and I never shut up.
Well, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
And so do you do broadcasts for like sporting events or something?
That was the goal. It's been a tough nut to crack. And if an opportunity pops up in the future, I would love to pursue it. But as of right now, I do not.
Okay. So then what are you doing for your work then?
So I own my own small business called VHS Master. And what I do is I digitize people's home movies. So I take their old VHS tapes, 8mm tapes, and 8mm reels, and convert them into DVDs and digital videos.
Okay. So how did you get your business started? What was your way of marketing yourself?
Basically, word of mouth. And that's really hard now because of the day and age we're in right now. But really, it started because, A, I needed a job. Mm-hmm. And with my disability, that's been a tough nut to crack. And we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But one day, I was looking at these cabinets of VHS tapes in my house that we had, and my mom needed to clean them out. She's thinking, what do we do with these? I don't know. And literally one day, I got a recommended purchase email from Amazon, and it had digitization software for videos where you could transfer old VHS tapes to digital. And I thought, I can do this for my mom. And knowing how to edit and being familiar with you know, various types of media because of my degree, I was like, this is really easy. And wait a minute, everybody has these.
Yeah.
I could turn this into a business and potentially get myself going. So that's where it came from.
You filled the void.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, very smart. And you're an entrepreneur. That's where your entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur comes in handy, right? You're actually using your degree.
Absolutely.
So how long ago did you start your business in?
It started in 2017.
Okay, so you're fairly new at it.
March. So we're 3 years. I started in March of 2017.
Yeah. And you're still doing the same thing. So you talked about your disability. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was born 3 months premature at 1.5 pounds. And was fine for a week. And after a week, I had basically a massive stroke, which caused me to develop spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy. So I use a wheelchair and basically had a chair since I was 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we're here to talk about having an active lifestyle. I don't let that stop me from being active and being as physically fit as I can.
And I think that's important, though, for us to know. You know, I appreciate you telling me that, and because that alone is an inspiration. You know, the fact that you're not letting something like that hold you back is incredible. When did you actually start getting into an active lifestyle, and what was that that you were doing?
So I've always been fairly active. I was a member of Break the Barriers. Anybody who's local knows about Break the Barriers, the performing arts center here in Fresno for people with disabilities and able-bodied people as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the Barrier Breakers and their martial arts demo team for about 20 years. And so that started there. And then I really started working out and lifting with the help of my adaptive PE coach in junior high, because he realized, I didn't at the time, but he realized that I needed to be as strong as I could be in order to be able to take care of myself day to day and be as independent as possible.
Yeah.
And that's what I would really encourage anybody with a disability to think about and have that mindset. It's not about, you know, looking good on a beach with having a six-pack set of abs, and or even rehabbing, especially if you have a long-term disability. It's really more about functionality and being as independent as possible so you can take care of yourself and do whatever you want to do and whatever you need to do day to day.
Yeah, that's some good advice, no doubt about that. But when you said breaking the barriers, is that what you called that?
Break the barriers.
Now, was that a, tell me what that actually meant as far as, how did you participate in that? Now, are you, I assume that you're participating always in your chair, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're not able to get out of your chair at all?
I am, but most of the time I'm in my chair. When I was younger, they would lift me out, and I did gymnastics and stuff out of my chair where I would crawl. But as I got older, I stuck mainly to martial arts, and that was mainly just in my chair. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me how you do martial arts in a chair, because I'm a trainer, and I've trained a lot of people that have been, you know, with disabilities like this, but I just need you to tell me how that works out in martial arts.
Well, I'm also kind of bearing the lead. I'm also a trainer as well.
Okay.
At least I got certified.
Okay.
I haven't done anything with it, but at least I got certified.
Yeah.
Anyway, martial arts in a chair. It was actually the brainchild of my martial arts instructor. He and I, over the course of about, you know, 20 years or so, took the existing curriculum. We belong to a national organization called the United States Taekwondo Chundukwan Association in Lakeland, Florida. So the curriculum was set for these schools nationwide, and we took all of the kicks and tried to match up hand strikes to mimic the kicks. So all of my forms or katas were done with hands. And whenever there were kicks, I would just do similar movements with my hands.
Mm-hmm. So did you actually, were you kind of like the pioneer or the person that you were working with? Were you guys pioneers in setting this up, I assume?
Definitely so. There are other people that I've seen in martial arts, you know, worldwide that are in chairs. So I can't say we're the first, but in terms of for our organization, we were definitely a little bit of mad scientists trying to figure this out. And over time, you just perfect it and figure out what works.
Okay, so how do you guys, I'm asking really some questions. They may be really dumb questions, but I ask a lot of them.
This is honestly the martial arts and stuff. That's not stuff that I get asked a lot and don't get to really talk about much. Okay. So I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. Okay, so how does that work? How can you guys get close enough to each other to hit each other? Or is that a part of the sport?
Oh, believe me, that's no problem.
Okay.
All of my friends, I used to spar all the time, and they had no problem getting close to me. You know, they were all able-bodied, so they were able to come to me, and believe me, they had no problem hitting me, and I had no problem hitting them.
Okay, but like when you're in a match with somebody else that's in a chair, I assume. Do you have to use like a special chair?
No, you just kind of lean in.
Yeah.
A little bit, It is a little more difficult, but you just lean in and we make it work.
Well, there you go.
My motto for anything, and you'll hear a lot of people with disabilities say this, and even some members of the military, so I feel like I'm in good company. Our motto is kind of adapt and overcome.
Yeah.
So whenever there's a challenge in front of me, I just figure out a way to do it. And, you know, sparring in a chair was no exception to that.
You know, if more people had that mindset, we'd be a lot better off in our world. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
In my opinion, you know, one of the things I go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've been kind of laying off the martial arts for a while just because I've been so focused on the business and trying to get myself on some solid financial footing. But with the quarantine and everything and needing to work out from home, I'm going to pick it back up again because I still need to work on promoting to my black belt. That's my next test to do, and I haven't taken care of that, and I need to. So
do they have, I assume that they have, is there like a league that where you guys fight in?
Like no. This is very much traditional martial arts. So it's just like if you go to any karate school around town, that's the kind of thing that we're doing. It's not UFC or any of that mixed martial arts stuff.
But do you actually compete in tournaments?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there were tournaments that we would compete in off and on throughout the year. But nothing, you know, we just sign up for tournaments when they would happen. It's not like there was a league every year with a championship or anything.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then how many days a week were you, when you were doing your martial arts, how many days a week would you train, and how long were the training sessions?
They were about an hour. And sometimes if I was getting ready to test, it was 2 to 3 days a week plus time at home.
Yeah. And did you ever get hurt in any of those matches?
No. Nope.
No? Did you guys fight? Did you fight with gloves?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Gloves, helmets.
Oh, okay.
And that is something that my martial arts instructor was very proud of, is the fact that we never, as far as we know, never had anybody that had a concussion or really got seriously hurt. We'd have, occasionally people would break some bones, but no head injuries or anything like that. So I would really encourage any parents out there that have kids with or without disabilities to put their kids in martial arts, because it's great for building self-confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I personally believe that everybody should learn how to defend themselves. We live in an increasingly scary, violent world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And especially women. I have so many friends that unfortunately end up in these abusive relationships, and it breaks my heart, honestly.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that everybody should learn how to defend themselves.
Yeah. You know, my son, one of my kids actually, because I was more traditional type sports. And when I say that, it was more football, basketball, baseball. That for me was traditional. One of my kids, well, they both played traditional, but my youngest son actually got into wrestling, which was really foreign to me. I mean, when I was in high school, I used to watch it all the time, obviously. But it was just, you know, to have my son actually go through that, I gained a whole different respect for the sport and also for him, because as you know, it's just you and that person out there, you know, and then you really have to learn how to dig down and believe and rely on yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing that I really like more than team sports. I've tried playing wheelchair basketball and, you know, doing some of the more traditional sports.
Yeah.
And for me, I really enjoy the competition right between the ears.
Yeah.
Where it's just me against myself and pushing myself to see how far I can go. That's just the way I'm built.
Yeah.
You know, but that being said, I love traditional sports too. I love watching them and love talking about them, which, you know, leads me to sports broadcasting. If you get me talking about sports, we could be here all afternoon.
I'm curious to know, what is your favorite sport? And wait, and which one would you like actually to broadcast for?
Oh, man. Probably, I would say both of them. It would be baseball, although I'm trying to get in to more basketball. Uh-huh. as a fan, but I think as far as broadcasting, baseball is right where I feel comfortable, and I just love the pace of it. And you know, don't get me wrong, I love football too. I'm a big Niner fan, but baseball to me would be the most fun to call. And I mean, it's really hard now as we're supposed to be in spring training. Yeah. And there's no baseball on right now.
Sucks.
It does suck. but there's nothing better than a summer afternoon or summer evening watching baseball. And it really is the ultimate metaphor for life, because it's a sport built on failure. And you can just slow down, take a breath in the high-paced world. I mean, and oftentimes, even though I love the sport, the broadcasters are so smooth. Yeah. They'll just put me to sleep. I'll wake up and the game's still on. Yeah. I'm like, this is great. I love it.
Let me ask you this. You said that you like it kind of over basketball because of the pace of the game. Now, I do realize that it's a slower-paced game, but what else is it that you like about the pace being slower?
I'm just an easygoing guy, and I like to talk to people, especially if you go to a game. There's time in between a baseball game to actually have a conversation and talk to people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I guess what I meant really asking is, as a broadcaster, put yourself in your...
Oh, as a broadcaster.
As a broadcaster.
Well, I think you have time to let the game breathe. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to fill in every second of every game.
Yeah.
Whereas other sports, when there's a lot going on, you feel tempted to talk every second.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Joe Buck who talked to maybe Vin Scully, or maybe it was even his dad. And when he first started, they gave him some advice that said, the best piece of advice I can give you in moments is to shut up.
Yeah.
You know, let the crowd and the atmosphere tell the story.
Yeah. And you know, there's a fine line of distinction there, because Joe Buck is one of my favorites, man. I mean, not only
especially for baseball.
Yeah. His voice is very distinct. You know, I don't have to even see him, and I know if he's announcing him and for football, then it's, what's his name? I forget his name. They actually do NFL games together.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, but yeah, Joe Buck and then Vince Scully. He was, I mean, wasn't Vince Scully back in those days? It was just him in the booth, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. He was a one man booth all the way through.
Yeah.
And there's no, as far as I'm concerned, that I know, there's one and 1A. I think one for me was Vin Scully. 1A, he's still doing his thing, is John Miller for the Giants. And I'm not even a Giants fan, but I will turn on a Giants game just to listen to John Miller. He's that good.
Isn't that something that, you know, you wouldn't think that, but I think sometimes we wonder why we like watching certain games, and we probably don't even know that how much it has to do with the actual broadcaster, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. I mean, you're making that point, because I always enjoy it when I know Joe Buck is doing a broadcast. I like that. And you're right about that. I think the timing and understanding it, I think from a, maybe it's the person that's actually watching the game, I think you have to have a really good understanding and be empathetic to the person that is experiencing the game, because you know what, now that you mentioned that, sometimes these guys talk too much, you know, and it's like, it's pretty, maybe it's not only distracting, but kind of annoying, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then to be able to, you know, fill in the blanks. And I think that piece of advice that you know, that was said as far as, you know, just shut up. I think that's really strong and it's probably really hard to do.
100% because those of us that are broadcasters or just even people that like to talk that are extroverts.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And as I'm aging, I'm learning how to do it.
Oh, you know, it's funny because even when I was, when I first started podcasting, I never podcasted until I started with this show. So I was learning as I went, you know, and it's a different dynamic when you're on this side of the mic interviewing compared to being interviewed. And it took me a little bit to figure that out and say, just let the person, you know, let them talk more instead of me. Cause I was always used to being the one that's just yapping away, you know? And so I know what you mean when you say it's difficult to do that. It's like, it's just hard to shut up sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And that's something that I'm learning as I'm doing my podcast too. I've podcasted for about 7.5 years, almost 8 years now. And I got a little rusty and my show is still relatively new. It's called Beyond the Bright Lights on Apple Podcast and wherever you get your podcasts, also on Spotify as well. And like I said, wherever you get your podcasts. But as I am listening to my episodes to publish them, I find myself thinking, all right, you don't need to be so loud here, or you don't need to make your questions so long. You just need to ask the question, get out of the way, and let the guests, you know, talk and have their time.
I think that's really good advice.
You know? It's a hard thing to do.
It is.
But
I can relate to you now, you know, otherwise I, you know, unless you're doing it, you know, it's hard to relate to that, but I do.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I do get what you're saying. Have you ever done like any broadcasting for at any level, like maybe a Little League game or anything like that?
No, the closest thing I got to broadcasting, was helping my high school cheerleading team out at football games for 1 year. I did it for 1 year because the cheerleading coach's theory was that the cheerleaders didn't really know what was going on. So I would sit there, didn't really know any of the players, but I would channel my inner Al Michaels, John Madden, and just sit there and call the game. And the coach would say, Scott's great. He's giving us way more information than we need. But that's what I had in my head, was I was sitting there calling, you know, a big college or NFL game. And it was great.
So if somebody said to you, Scott, you got a phone call. Hey, Scott, this is Leo Costa here at the Oaks Baseball Club over here in Visalia. I need a broadcaster to come fill in. Would you be able to do that, or do you have to actually cut your teeth? You know, do you have to actually be have done it to be able to sit in and actually do it, or how would you break into that?
Oh man, yeah, I would say you would have to cut your teeth a bit. Although now, and I just got it today. The new copy of MLB The Show 20. I think that is a way, believe it or not, a lot of young broadcasters are cutting their teeth and getting those reps. Now, especially in the age of social distancing, we're seeing the value of recordings, and we have so much at our fingertips as far as technology and what we can do now. Where literally I can be in my room recording myself calling games 24/7, 365 to nobody and cut my teeth.
Yeah.
So I, honestly, I think probably more so from a station's standpoint or a team standpoint, they would want somebody that has had some experience.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily know if that is somewhat true anymore.
Yeah.
Because of technology.
Well, you know, and let me say this, and I don't know if this is really a good example, but I come from a time in bodybuilding where we learned, you know, learn how to pose and learn how to do all this stuff from somebody else, basically.
Yeah.
To show us. And yet so many athletes that I've interviewed now, because of technology, I always ask, well, how did you learn how to pose? You know? Oh, YouTube.
Exactly.
You know, it's like it blows me away. I'm thinking, well, you know, I never thought that you could actually do that. And yet people learn nutrition. They learn everything.
Yeah.
On these social media.
And it's free.
And it's free. Yeah. So it is a whole different ball game now. And it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger one time said, you got to learn how to play the game. You know, there's different, you know, the rules keep changing. And instead of bitching about it, you know, that you're not getting a shot, you just got to figure it out. You know, there's always a way. You just got to figure out how the rules are and be creative.
Yeah, and the biggest obstacle, I'll be honest, to me having a traditional job in broadcasting or personal training or whatever is being able to get there. Yeah. Because I have a car that is about 41 grand, mm-hmm. and I'm on SSI. And so by the time I take care of those payments, I don't have much left to actually be able to afford to drive it.
Yeah. Wow.
So that is a big barrier to traditional employment. And then also, just being honest, being able to use a public restroom is a problem for me as well.
Yeah.
And I'm working on a solution for that. Hopefully that's going to be coming soon. So people with disabilities, with physical disabilities that do have that problem, can get out in public and can show what they can do.
Yeah.
And hopefully be more of a factor in our communities, because right now there are many, many people that can't. There are tons that can. Don't get me wrong. I'm actually in the minority of a minority. There are many people with cerebral palsy that are fairly able-bodied, are able to work and live normal lives. I'm someone in between where I have all the mental capacity and the ability to speak. I just struggle a little bit physically,
yeah.
and it's tough overcoming those physical barriers. And it's hard because nobody really has an answer for me.
Yeah.
I've talked to doctors, therapists, nurses, social workers, you name it. Nobody has an answer.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Yeah. Well, you may have to be that guy that comes up with that answer.
Absolutely. And my whole reason for wanting to get into sports media and sports broadcasting is to ultimately use the platform to do what I'm doing now, and that's share my story and say, if I can do it, if I can make it, so can you. And ultimately, we all have a choice.
Yep. You know, there's no better inspiration than that. You know, I had 8 years ago, I had three strokes in 3 weeks, paralyzed me, you know? So, you talk about being challenged. That was that's a big crossroad in my life. And one of the things, I had to make a choice. I was fortunate enough that I could make a choice, because I've seen people who have had strokes that are pretty wiped out. I mean, they got it worse than I did, even though I was, paralyzed and all this kind of stuff. I still had, I could still make a choice. In other words, I thought to myself, look, I can let this adversity either define me or destroy me. And it's up to me to make that choice. Only mm-hmm. I can make that choice, you know? And I think that's kind of like where what you've done, and you're fighting back. And what better way than, I mean, you know, when you can do that and you will, you know, wow, what a inspiration and a mentor you're going to be to a lot of people. But it certainly doesn't come easy.
No, it doesn't. And thank you, Leo. I appreciate you sharing that story with me and all your listeners. And you're absolutely right. I went through many, many years after I graduated from college saying, you know, this isn't right. No. There has to be more than this for me. And life isn't supposed to be like this.
Right.
I worked hard my entire life going to school. I'm a teacher's kid. I graduated from high school as a member of National Honor Society. I'm smart. I'm well connected. I have friends here locally within the media industry and PR and marketing. And, you know, why am I not getting that shot?
Yeah.
But at a point, I had to do the work to heal. I went through several bouts of depression and was even had suicidal thoughts every day for 8 years. And ultimately, I came to realize that and remember that God has a plan for me. And I hate to get preachy here, but I'm a strong believer that I went through what I went through for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only here because I'm supposed to be here, and that I wouldn't be here without someone or something looking out for me. And he's got more for me to do than, you know, be stuck at home and be broke and broken. So eventually I got the help to heal, and really over the last 3 to 4 years, my faith has really blossomed, and it's really given me the ultimate confidence, even though my situation hasn't changed all that much. Everything's changed up here.
Yeah.
I'm more focused and driven now than I've ever been. And now it's for the right reasons. And it's ultimately about, it's not about me. And that's one thing that I really want to stress to everybody who's going through something. It's not about you. It's about what can you take from that adversity and teach to other people.
Yep, that's right. And that's us, you know what? And a few people get to the point that you're at, you know? And I think it's exactly, what it's going to take for you to accomplish what you will accomplish down the road, you know? So let's, if you don't mind, let's switch gears a little bit, because I wanted to find out, you said you're a personal trainer, you got certified, but when did you actually start training, and when did getting certified, was that just something that you, was that a stated goal, or is that just something that as you learned how to train, did you learn how to train yourself, or somebody helped teach you that, or,
no,
was it YouTube?
Well, basically, no, I was just using the program that my adaptive PE coach gave me in junior high that I'd been doing all along.
Okay.
And then I started working with a trainer at GB3 here at Hernan and Fowler in Clovis.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody with a disability, I would highly recommend after this is all over to go into any GB3 here locally. They are very, very inclusive, and everybody there is very, very encouraging to anybody who is wanting to improve their physical fitness, whether you have a disability or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I started training with my trainer because I felt my workouts getting stale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I need somebody to show me really what I can do. And ultimately, I couldn't do anything with my lower body on my own. I needed somebody. So actually, I still do keep my trainer for one day a week for leg day on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
But after I started training with him, I was like, you know what? I like working out, and this is something that I could do to help people. There's a demand for it. Why don't I just get certified? Mm-hmm. And so I got certified, and then ultimately the restroom thing kind of caught up with me a little bit again. But my kind of motto for anything that I do for a job is, will it help people?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I'm here to serve others and help others. And if it's not helping other people, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And personal training really fit within that. And ultimately, too, I wanted to show other people with disabilities what they could do as well. And frankly, anybody. But I have so many friends that I know, and it happened to me too, that once you hit about 23, 24, especially being in a chair and your metabolism slows down, you just start ballooning.
Yeah.
And it happened to me too. I put on about 30 pounds my last year of college. My testosterone dropped. I was eating a bunch of junk because literally my last semester of college, I had 10 minutes in between classes to grab whatever I could and shove it down my throat and get back to class.
Right.
And I ended up putting on about 30 pounds. And after I graduated, I was just at home sitting around with nothing to do. I was like, I think I'm going to join a gym. And also part of that, another thing that really woke me up was I went to Disneyland for my 21st birthday. And I couldn't really help the people that were with me get me on and off the rides. And I was getting heavy and I just didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get in the gym. Contrast that with, I went back to Disneyland for my 30th birthday and I basically was able to get on and off the rides pretty much completely independently.
I would say that's progress.
That is totally progress. Because I thought, I'm like, if I don't do something real quick, my days at Disneyland are over.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Hey, and nobody wants that.
No, you're right. One question that I have for you with regards to your training, leg day. Tell me what leg day looks like for you, Scott.
So I have a walker that I walk with at home, but I would also bring that to the gym, and my trainer would use that with me. And then also we'll do the leg press. He'll mm-hmm. I can actually get myself in and out of the leg press now.
Okay.
But he'll hold my feet and legs together and I'll use the leg press. And then we'll do the adductor machine, because I had an adductor release when I was little. So those muscles are very weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll do that. He'll get me on that machine, plop me there and have me do that. And then even just on my own for leg days, sometimes I'll go to the gym and use my wheelchair purely as, some isometric or plyometric apparatus, and just mm-hmm. use it to do tricep dips with my legs and squats. And it's really all about, I mean, it probably looks pretty simple to anybody who doesn't have a disability, but it's a pretty good workout and it's all about moving. And that's the thing that is most important.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting. Yeah, I was curious about that, what you did for legs like that. Do you do, can you do leg extensions?
I can't as much because of my spasticity in my legs.
So what does that mean? When you say spasticity, what happens?
You just get very tight and drawn up. And
it's kind of like when you get a cramp, sort of?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But you just have it all the time.
Oh, okay.
So really, honestly, I probably need somebody to come and stretch my legs every day.
Yeah.
And my arms too, because I have they're not as limited, but I do have contractures in my arms as well.
I have a question for you. Have you ever considered? And again, I'm just asking. That's kind of one of these questions. How about Botox? Because Botox.
Yep.
Have you used that?
I have. Had that pitch to me since I was tiny, and that is something that I have always shied away from because you have to be put out every time they inject it.
Oh, really?
And yeah. So I'm on.
Why?
For pain. Pain. So and also it's, you know, for people that don't know, it's low dose botulism.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I do know that.
So I try. So I'm on a dosage of baclofen, which is a muscle relaxer, very very common, that a lot of people with CP are on, and I've been on it since I was 12 and have had no problems. And I've also had what's called a rhizotomy. It was a fairly experimental procedure when I had it in 1994 at UCLA, but it's basically where they go in to your spine and cut all the dead nerve endings in your spine to relieve spasticity. And the doctor told my mom when I had it done that he had to cut more than they thought. He had to cut over 40% of my nerve endings.
Wow.
But had we not done that, I would not be doing any of the things that I'm doing now. You know, I'm fairly independent. I can, you know, take care of myself in the restroom at home and bathe myself, dress myself, basically do anything and everything I need to do outside of putting my shoes on and cooking. But, you know, when I was a baby, my mom couldn't even diaper me. My legs were so crossed.
Wow.
And While the spasticity helped hold me up and helped me be more independent as far as walking, my quality of life would be, I believe, much more limited than it is now had I not had that done.
Okay. So overall, it was a better option. I mean, it turned out to be the better option.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other question that I have, you said you got really heavy, like, was it your senior year in college?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you do for weight loss? There's two questions here. And is cardiovascular conditioning a part of your program? And what do you do? I guess I asked you three questions, didn't I?
Absolutely.
So what do you do for cardio?
I love my cardio, man.
So what do you do?
It is the most challenging out of anything that I do. Half the time for me, just getting up and using my walker is good cardio.
I bet.
And then also recently, thanks to the Challenged Athletes Foundation, those of you that know about CAF know the good work that they do. I was able to get a grant for a hand cycle.
Oh, okay.
Basically a road bike.
Yeah.
Just flipped upside down with three wheels. And right now I have a indoor trainer, and I just get on that about 3 days a week, and I'm trying to ride for about a half hour a day, and I'm trying to work up to the point where I can start riding it outside and even hopefully starting to race competitively, because there is about 600 or 700 mile race every year from Fairbanks to Anchorage in Alaska called the Saddler's Ultra Challenge. And it is what they call the toughest race in the world. It is a hand cycle and wheelchair race that top Paralympic athletes do every year, and I'd like to try and do that race at some point.
That would be quite a goal. Even if you listen, as far as I'm concerned, even if I didn't make it, but just the fact that I attempted it and got as far as I could, that might be just, you know, a good start right there.
Absolutely.
You know,
and those of you that are listening, I'll put in a little plug. I was able to actually interview the director of a documentary about that race on my podcast, and that's actually how I found out about it. Was I'd been watching this documentary for years, and now we're kind of good friends, and I was able to interview him. So check out that interview if you're interested.
That's like some good inside stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's your cardio, but what about now with your diet? How versed are you on your diet? How much do you pay attention to that?
Right now, I don't. Unfortunately, I know it's important, but I can't cook. Uh-huh. And my mom is older, and she's not able to cook as much. So my diet's not the best. It's not horrible, but it could be better. Let's put it that way.
So do you have to eat out, like fast food all the time?
Let's put it this way. We eat more fast food than I would like. Mm-hmm. But when we do, we try and make good choices of salads without cheese, dressing on the side, you know, try and make it as low carb as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not too far away from my goal weight of where I want to be. For my height, I'm 5'8", and I'm about 175, mm-hmm. and I would like to get down to somewhere in the 160s.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, about 160, I think, would be a good weight for me. Even if I could get down into the 150s, if I could be as light as possible, so I makes it easier for me to lift myself and do what I need to do, that would be great. So that's my goal.
Okay, so let me ask you this. With your trainer that you're working with, are they, or is he or she working with you on your diet and things that you can do?
Yeah, he gave me some pointers of some stuff that I could do, and I've implemented that, and you know, I've checked out Easy Fit Meals here locally. Mm-hmm. And that helps a little bit too. Yeah, you know, being kind of limited in the kitchen is difficult. And, you know, I'm looking forward to ultimately, hopefully someday soon, finding a girlfriend who likes to cook and knows how to cook healthy. Because I'm like, you know what, if you handle the cooking, I got dish duty, honey.
You know? that's a fair trade.
Division of labor.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me point something out to you, because, you know, this is my background. Is I've been doing this for a long time, this personal training. And with regards to diet, you know, there's three components. I always talk to my clients and say, look, there's three components that need to be coherently manipulated throughout a workout program, a regimen. That's weight training, cardio, nutrition. It always comes down to that. Mindset is a factor, but I mean, as far as the actual three components, so you have to understand how to really manipulate those three things. Most people don't, even a lot of trainers don't know how to do that with all three. As a bodybuilder, we had to learn that, because everything was, you know, you had to do everything right to get a certain result and look a certain way on stage. That's just the bottom line. But let me say this to you. One of the things I can tell you is that eating healthy, I think, is important. I'm not saying that it's not important, but that is in itself is not absolutely necessary for you to reach your goal. And I'm a little bit maybe I'm contradicting the norm, but I have for my whole life in being in the business, because I'm not just saying it just to hear myself talk. I like to hear myself talk. But I can tell you this, Scott, because I really would like to offer my services to you. But I can tell you this, you are more, we are more a product of what of how much we eat as opposed to what we eat. If you know physiology, you know that, you know, the process by which your body goes through, it breaks down everything down into a unit of energy to produce heat.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what I would like to offer you, if, and then, again, I'd be honored to work with you if you don't mind, because I'd like to see if I could help you out in maybe some way. I have an app that I would like to put you on. And look, you have your own training that you're doing. I would just like to fill maybe the potential void that you have right now based on those three components. I would like to fill the nutrition side of it, put you on the app, and I would like to develop a program for you to follow, and I can work around you eating the way you're eating. I'm not real concerned that concerned about how you're eating, to be honest with you.
That'd be great, Leo. I really appreciate that, because you're right. That is the one kind of missing component for me.
Yeah.
And I thank you so much. I'm all for it. Let's do
it. Okay. Yeah. I really would like to do that. And again, I don't want to step on your toes or anything like that.
No,
I don't. But I would really, because I'd like to, you're going to make my point when we get you down into the 160s. Because I really think, because obviously you have to have to begin with, you know, I work with a lot of clients. And a lot of times, Scott, the reason why people don't reach the goals that they're wanting is mainly because of themselves. They can't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not that person. I already know that. So you're already, as far as I'm concerned, looking at, you know, from my side of the table, you already got, you know, you're already at an advantage that way because you want it. You're motivated. The obstacle is not going to be greater than the motivation. I already know that with you. I can tell that in 5 minutes talking to you. So I would like to do that with you. And then maybe what we could do is talk about that, your results that you get at some point, because I think that when you get that result, again, you know, this is something that you can pass on to somebody else that's maybe facing some similar circumstances.
That'd be great, Leo. I really appreciate it.
No, I think that'd be a lot of fun. I like challenges like that. You know, the reason why I got into bodybuilding in part was because it was so damn hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it attracted me, you know, because it was really difficult.
Well, and I give you a lot of credit because I'm one of these guys. I'm like, I work out so I can eat, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So hearing about all the restrictions that my friends that are bodybuilders have to go through, I'm like,
yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
You might look good, but
not worth it.
No, I love my food, man.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But anyway, I think you'll be surprised how we can work all this in for you. And because, you know, one of the myths and misconceptions out there about bodybuilders, because I've been around a lot of them over the years, all the pros, you know, Venice, the Gold's Gym, all that crowd, is not everybody eats as clean as they say they do. You know, we do primarily when we're pre-contesting,
mm-hmm.
but none of the off-season stuff, you know, it's not, I mean, you find those that are doing year-round, you know, ultra strict, but a lot of us just don't do that, and we're still able to maintain a really great condition. So, again, I'm not concerned about that for you, and I'd like to, again, I'm repeating myself, and I do that a lot. I want to work with you on this.
That'd be awesome, Leo.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So let's do this now. Exit, we're going to wrap this thing up, but I want you, you've been hugely inspirational, and I'm really not only glad, but I'm really honored that you came on this show. I think that people need to hear your story, obviously. You inspire me, Scott, and I really do mean that. So what would you like to, is there anything that you would like to promote on this show for other people? Whatever you want to promote, now's a good time to do that.
Yeah, I would just say please check out my podcast. It's called Beyond the Bright Lights. Like I had mentioned earlier, it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. And I interview former athletes, people in sports media, and employees of teams, talk to them about any adversity that they've faced in life, and find out how the life lessons they learned from sports helped them get through it and to where they are today. It's a great, great interview. And Leo, since you mentioned it, I would like to have you on my show at some point as well, if you're interested.
Anytime, baby. Anytime.
All right. And
I want you to drill me and ask me questions.
Oh, 100%. I'll dust off those journalism skills for you and ask you the hard questions.
Ask me the tough questions. Put me on the line.
Yeah, I'm also working on a book that I've been working on for a while, but I'm trying to use this time at home where my schedule isn't as impacted to really get that done and hopefully start my speaking career, because like you said, I do have a story that I want to share and
definitely
and help encourage other people.
Yeah.
So that's going to be coming as well. And ultimately, like I tell people, you have a choice. You may not think you do, but you always have a choice about how you want to live. And that's no more true now than it ever has been. Because of the times that we're facing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think that's well said. And Scott, you're really an awesome person. And I'm really happy you came on. I can't wait to get on your program, seriously. So we'll be talking here directly. I'm going to have Carol be reaching out to you because she reached out to you before. And we'll get us set up together again.
Absolutely, Leo. Looking forward to it.
Okay, now listen to me. You get in the gym, okay? You get into the gym tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that, all right?
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, man. You take care of yourself.
All right, you too. Be well, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See ya. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.